It is time for us to be joined by Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack. Praise this. You'll find them at tqag.com on the web. And let's find out how things are going on in Florida. Good morning, Tim. Good morning, Greg.
Hey, good morning.
Where's Greg?
You may just have me. He's on the road. He had an eye doctor appointment at 8:30 or 8 o'clock, and so I told him you should be able to connect, but
you never know. It's one of those things. Well, so now I've been looking at all the horror stories from Texas and from New Orleans. Like in New Orleans, of course, it's Mardi Gras time, and the streets were empty because of the cold weather. In Texas, some of the huge windmills that generate electricity have frozen in place. In Louisiana, it was 2 degrees this morning. I think you guys were spared, though, right?
Yeah, we some of the weather, and we did when I woke up this morning, and there was a warning last night that there could be some more volatile weather. So this morning there was a tornado watch that was north of us, but we are expecting some of the thunderstorms and some other crazy weather. It said actually it'll start around 9 o'clock this morning. So I made sure to get the dogs out real early to make sure that they at least get out, you know, the priorities. But yeah, it's happy Fat Tuesday. It is Fat Tuesday. And they said that there's another system that's right behind this as well.
So absolutely.
We keep an eye on that.
On Thursday, we're meant to get, beginning Thursday into Friday, maybe a foot.
Yes.
A 12 to maybe up to a foot of snow. We've had, February has given us winter in abundance. Right now, we had an ice storm last night. No, but we're right around 55 inches of snow for the winter, and if we get more snow on Thursday, it'll definitely be one of the snowiest winters. But it's all come in weird patches. And like I said, I've got a friend who lives in McGrath, Alaska. I was talking about this with Pat Pagano earlier this morning. McGrath, Alaska is in the Yukon Territory. It's in the middle of nowhere. And it's only a town of about 400 people, but because it has an airport, it is a major transportation hub for things that go in and out of remote Alaska. And I've got a friend that works at a radio station there. This morning, it's 15 degrees there. It's warmer there than it is in Louisiana.
Yes, which is, I'm sure it's just and especially in Texas too. They're not used to that,
no.
You know, that much snow all at once. And I think that we've had it even down here where it was cool, and then the last couple days it was up in the 80s, you know, nice breezy, but mid lower 80s. And so we're expecting to be down in the 60s again by the weekend. So they said that, you know, there's just volatile weather. When you have those highs and lows, that's when, you know, you get the thunderstorms and you have to really watch with the rain and the thunderstorms and the wind.
Well, I guess if you really want to go and not worry about this, go to Key West. But you have to be a certain person.
Yeah.
You have to be a certain person that wants to live in Key West.
It's
a beautiful place, but it's as remote in Key West as it is in McGrath, Alaska. That's what you have to remember.
and it's also like just going to the cost of things, getting there, you know, all of that has to be flown in, shipped in. It's not as easily accessible to even just go grocery shopping, just the grocery shopping.
Here's the thing, in McGrath, Alaska, the average family income is almost $50,000 a year. Now that sounds like a lot, but folks, when you go to the store to buy a can of soup, it's five.
Right.
It's $5.
Right. And God forbid you get a bottle of wine.
That's
gonna be like $25.
I think they make their. I would think they would make their own.
Yeah. At that point, yeah, you must. It's I guess it's out of the necessity of also where you're located, because there's a lot of just very native things in Key West. that you wouldn't find anywhere else because of just what's there.
And, but still,
key limes are amazing.
I'll choose Key West over McGrath, Alaska. I'm sorry. I will.
Yes.
I can live in Key West. You have to find a reasonable place to live, but I could live in Key West. There's no doubt about it. And be interrupted by a hurricane once every 5 or 10 years, I could do that very easily. All right, so what's on the docket here for auctioneers here this morning?
So there's a lot that's going on. There's I think that this past year, 2020, looking back, and you know, and we've talked about this before, but that it really laid the groundwork and foundation for auction companies and also appraisal companies looking forward on what to do. And there's a lot of changes that have happened, and I think a lot of differences in the way that they approach the marketplace, which is fascinating to see. I think more and more of the larger auction houses are looking to the online sales. They are also doing more private sales. They're looking at other ways that they can bring incredible items to market and sell them in not just your typical auction format, because they are using the online format, which has proven to be very successful. And I think that it's really harnessing that technology and using it together. And I think we've talked about this a lot over the years, is that online auctions are not going to replace the live auctions. They're going to supplement. And I think they're going to use that to their advantage. And the same thing with appraisals. I have been really very, very busy, hit the ground running with Heinemann Auctions. And we are, and the appraisal department has really just, I've only been there a month, and we've already done, several $1,000s worth of business in appraisals. Just going, people want to know, hey, what is this? And the best way to do this, I've done 4 appraisals from my house they were 4 of them that were in the Naples area of Florida. So on the West Coast, which, you know, it's about a 3-hour drive to get over there. But I've stayed home because of just the, with COVID and everything else. But I've been able to help these individuals who are looking to either make a donation to a museum for the artwork, figure out what do I have so that I can move forward. Today I'm talking to a woman who has, I think she has 6 works of art that she's 94 years old, and she was curious, what do I do? And I think that's the first step of why people get appraisals, and what they need to know is they need to make an informed decision about what direction are they going to go. Are they going to sell the item? Are they going to gift it to someone? Or are they going to donate it to a museum? Or are they just going to hold on to it because maybe it doesn't have a significant enough value? And I mean, and these paintings, they've sent me some information. I've done just some basic information. But in order to make an informed decision, you need to know, am I looking at a $5,000 piece, or am I looking at a $50,000 piece? And that's where the value of an appraiser comes in. And what I found just very fascinating, and what I love, is that we're able to help people that are all over the country with these conundrums. What do I do with it? What is it worth? What are the next steps? So that's I think what people are doing. They've been in their houses for a long time. There is some relief in sight, but it's going to be a little while before we're really back to what we consider normal. I think this is going to take a little while. And as the vaccines go out, as things are happening. And by the way, Greg got his second shot yesterday. And had a little bit of side effects, some of the side effects of just feeling little chills, little uneasy, took some Tylenol and a Benadryl and went to sleep. But this morning he woke up and he was fine. So it was not a big deal. But I think as more and more people are seeing that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, they are trying to plan. you know, what to do? What do I do with this stuff? And the first step, for the most part, is appraisal. Now, I have talked to a number of people as well that said, well, I have a number of these things and I'm sick of looking at them. I need to get them out and I need to sell them. So that's the other thing that I'm hearing a lot of, is that they're looking to change things. The housing market is just booming down here. I mean, people are either coming from up north because they want to be in a warmer climate, or people have been stuck in their house for a year and say, you know, we need a bigger space in case this happens. Let's expand a little bit. So in order to do that, they need to downsize. And that's just kind of the ebb and flow of what is going on in the marketplace. I mean, it's pretty fascinating to see. And one other thing is that with the board that I'm on, the Appraisal Standards Board, we're also addressing a lot of these issues about using technology to help in your appraisal practice and what you're doing. And it's just really fascinating, and I love being on that front line of helping make decisions that are going to help not only the industry but also the consumer, because at the end of the day, the appraisal standards are all about the public trust in the whole process of appraisals. So lots going on.
Well, there's, you know,
a lot going on.
It's interesting when you talk about people moving in our area. We have a lot of real estate agencies, and people are awarded these honorariums for selling certain. Well, it started popping up about a week ago. So-and-so at so-and-so has a gold medal award, you know, from the Realtors Association for Sales. Now it's a week later, and there's like 20 real estate agents I know that have had like the best year ever.
yeah.
Simply the best year ever.
It's crazy. And I was also talking with some of my real estate appraiser friends, and they can't keep up. They said that this is so. What I take from this is that when I look at that, is that there's movement in the real estate market, and it's an upward movement, and it's a positive movement. And when you see that, you also, not that it translates into the other markets, because, but it does, it has an effect, because people need to sell their place, and then they have to either move it all, and then there's commerce there because they have to move it, or they sell it and downsize it. And so it's kind of a pyramid type of thing, is at the very bottom, the base of the pyramid, is all the stuff of everyday life. What are we going to do with this? Some of it ends up being either donated, or it goes to a thrift store, or, you know, goes to the bargain barn, or wherever it goes, because they said, you know what, just here, just whatever you can do and get this. Then there's the next layer that might be jewelry, or, you know, other stuff. And then there's that very top that only accounts for maybe 2 or 3% of whatever's in the house, is that's the really good stuff. And it also translates into estates. We were pitching an estate, and I was looking at the overall collection, and I said, well, it's all over the place. It's just a little bit of everything. It's everyday stuff. There's the mid-range, and then really the top. Out of the thousands of pieces that I looked at, there were probably maybe 25 that, or maybe 10 that were at that very top range, that thought, okay, here's what's really worthwhile. So all the rest of this stuff is kind of mid-range, or the majority was right at the bottom. And that is very typical for a household collection, or in what you're looking at. And in doing that, it also makes it easier when we're pitching a big collection, when there's two or three different houses and whatever is going on, is what are the costs? How long is this going to take? And you can group a lot of that stuff of everyday life, because you know that that's not going to have that big of an effect. You're not going to have to do a lot of research. It's a lot of stuff that you've already seen. But that movement happens. And you know, I'm just going to talk about the elephant in the room. With COVID and everything, a lot of people have passed on, and they have to deal with their estates, and they have to deal with those things. So it's one of those things that we have empathy and sympathy for the individuals, because I know it's a very difficult time, but it's also, it's been a robust time. And it's just, that's what's going on in the marketplace. I mean, those are the realities.
Yeah, well, I'm scheduled, I got my notice from the CDC the other day, and so I'm scheduled for my first shot on March 1st.
Good.
And then it'll be, I guess, another 2 or 3 weeks after that for the second shot. So, but yeah, so March 1st is the date. And I don't really want the shot where you get two of them. I'd much rather get the shot where you get one of them.
I know.
But we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
No, totally understand. And I'm under the age requirement here in Florida. And a lot of people are saying, well, but in our state, if you have asthma, which I have severe asthma, so if you have asthma, you should be able to get the shot. Well, I try to explain that we also here in Florida have a disproportionate higher amount of older people. So that is why that fit that 65 and over, which they do need to get that. And I have to wait. And that's fine. It's just a little bit longer. But I was able to get my parents in. All of the ladies, our Yenta posse, they all have their shots. And most of them got their second shot this past weekend. And then Greg just got his. So mom and dad go at the end of February to get theirs. So it is, it's just this, it's this surreal time that we're navigating through, because it's not like, this is another year. It's another year with this pandemic. And how do we make the changes to make it fit within our lives? And it's just interesting to see the creativity of what not only museums are doing for fundraisers, but a lot of the nonprofits. I just did the Heart Ball. They did a virtual event, so I helped and we taped it prior to the event. Their event was on Friday and kept it to 30 minutes. And they did a very nice job of putting that together, and they were able to raise funds. So it's interesting how things have, the more they change, the more they stay the same, the more, really, it's the more they change, is that they are really constantly changing and evolving in the way we do business, the way we do our appraisals, and also the way we conduct our auctions. But I'll tell you, Hyman Auctions, they just had an amazing jewelry sale that took place last week, and they have a wonderful decorative arts sale that's coming up it's the beginning of March. So they're getting that all together. So, you know, things are really stacking up, and things are moving. I mean, the commerce is still out there.
Well, it's what it is. I have one final comment. If you haven't seen this movie yet, go see it. It's called The Villages. It's a documentary, and it's a real movie, and it deals with real people. And most people, when they passed on 95, they see the sign The Villages. They don't realize that the villages hold about 120,000 people.
It's crazy. And actually, Greg and I have had several clients, so we've been up there several times, and it's amazing.
It's a life of its own.
that is an understatement.
it is Florida. There's no doubt about that. All right, Tim, give Greg our best, and we'll speak to you next week.
Definitely. You take care, Marshall.
Take care.
Bye, buddy.
Tim Luke and, of course, Greg Strom with Appraise This, the Frickin' Frack of Nick and Knack, TQAG.com on the web.